morning. Glad to see some smiling faces. Who is appreciating all this rain? Yeah, yeah. Whose lawn is greener than it's ever been in years? Who's excited to mow? Keep your hands up. I gotta, because I am not, actually. Actually, hey, well, no, good morning. Good morning. Aren't you excited to get to be in this building, right? Just listen. In this building, getting to be a part of God's house, because we are God's house. Amen?
Amen?
Aren't you glad that we get to come and worship Him today? All right, so we're going to start with a word of prayer. We've got a couple of announcements, but let's start with prayer. We'll talk about some announcements, and then we'll start singing some praises. Father, as we do come into this place, we want to thank You that You have bought us with Your blood. Lord, that we are redeemed, that, Lord, we have the ability to be saved. And so, Lord, this moment right now, if there's anybody struggling, Lord, with not knowing, Lord, we pray that You would just make it very clear today to them that salvation is possible only because of You, Lord Jesus. And so we come to worship You. We come to open Your word. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that You would give us understanding, that You would give us understanding, that You would give us power to go and live it out. Father, that we would rest from our own works and trust in You. And so, Lord Jesus, we come to lift Your name up. We come to encourage one another, to seek You, to find You, to draw closer to You. And so, Lord, be with us. We thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, a couple quick announcements. Hey, if you're a visitor here, make sure you get your visitor bag. It has some good stuff in there. Look on the bottom. It has a card to get a cup of coffee from the coffee company that sets up out here. Some of the visitors who've been getting that haven't been turning in their cards. I asked them, I was like, you got any cards? And they're like, no, only a couple. So we just got to remind everybody. And if you're here today and you're a visitor, you want some prayer requests or you want something like that, please just fill it out and put it in one of the offering boxes. We have offering boxes by each door leaving the sanctuary and on each side of going into the fellowship area. Just drop that off in there, please, and so we can get that and be praying for you as we pray together on Tuesday nights. Hey, we have baptisms next week. Yeah? Yeah. Yeah. We have baptisms next week, and so we're gonna have a good time celebrating baptisms and celebrating people identifying with Christ, and it's just gonna be a great time. Excuse me. It's gonna be a great time next week, and so please join us for that. Come and be an encouragement. If the Lord is putting baptism on your heart, please come and speak to me. Grab me after service. I know it's gonna look busy and people are gonna be talking to me, but hey, be like, Pastor, I want to talk about baptism. I will push all these people aside, okay? All right, and then we will talk, all right? We will talk about baptism. And no offense to you if you get pushed, okay? All right, just be with that. Hey, and our new members, beginners class, that's going extremely well. Alan shared about how some of you are growing in the Lord and just, like, really thirsty. It filled my heart as a pastor to hear that, and so I just want to praise God for that. Hey, in the Next Steps class, we have, yes, praise the Lord for that. Yeah, absolutely. In our Next Steps class, we have one more week in this book, and so there's some of you who are going to join in the next book. So in 2 weeks, if you've been waiting to join the Next Steps class, in 2 weeks will be your opportunity. And so we will finish the first book, and that's the nice thing about the Next Steps class. You can jump in on any part when we start a book. So if you're there, make sure you come and talk to me, put your name on a list somewhere, something like that. Be like, Pastor, 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 okay? And so 2 weeks, we'll start that next book. Other than that, I don't want to waste a bunch of time on announcements. I want to praise Jesus. Amen? All right, so let's do that.
Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Spirit, you made me see. And what a foundation he is he not?
God.
And he, that being Christ, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Break every stronghold.
Son sets you free, you will be free indeed.
Amen. All right. I got a, for a testimony, you guys can go ahead and sit down. For a testimony, I'm going to read a testimony that was sent to me yesterday. So, this time, for those of you who are visitors or guests, this time we try to have some testimony time about not just salvation testimony, but about what God is doing in the church and in the body of Christ. And so this testimony came to me yesterday. Was it yesterday or was it Friday? My day's kind of just... Anyway, it was yesterday, wasn't it, that this came through? Okay. So it was yesterday, just as working on Scripture and just different things. It's just very exciting. Getting ready for an informal business meeting, if you will, at Love Lock, and just with everything. I received this email. this is how it goes. Pastor Tom, something that I felt I needed to share. My testimony on how God worked in me through CSVC. I was in a different place this time last year. My heart told me to come to CSVC last year in late April. I had gone through a hard time in my life, a place some call the Valley of Decision. Starting when we moved to Reno, I struggled to be a husband and a father and a provider for that matter, and to be honest, it had developed before that even. After some life events hit hard and crashed, I knew from my time as a believer that I had gotten off focus. There were two decisions in my head, but I looked up the services at CSVC and literally just came to a Thursday night study and completely opened up after study was over to Pastor Tom and the others who had stayed. What was great is that I am certain there was a discernment with everyone that was there, as they all had just seemed to quickly adopt me into their church family. That was my first verification that I knew God had a plan. I got to know the men through Wednesday night's men's group, and the second verification came to me the first day I went to the men's group. They had just started a book called Maximize Manhood, and each chapter from the very beginning had my spirit jumping out of my body almost. It seemed that every chapter had to do with my struggle, and that's when I knew I was absolutely 100% supposed to be with the church. There was no way that this was a coincidence. And at this point, it had me excited to see what the Lord had for me here. That's the second verification. I felt like I had gotten the most out of every Wednesday, like the entire workbook was specifically for me. It was for everyone, but that's what it was like. I continued as my schedule allowed. I had gotten to know most of the guys after a while, and I had been praying and reading the Word and was in fellowship. I had let go of trying to control the struggle and started to focus on my relationship with the Lord and building that example again with my children. I had to forgive myself and ask those who I felt I had hurt for forgiveness as well, down to even my children. That was the third verification for me that God was completely in this. It was after this that I realized that trying hard and working to provide had been my God, my idol. It had kept me away from the very thing I was trying to provide and to protect, so much that I had buried myself in drinking and staying up late and worrying. It was killing my relationship with my wife, pushing my kids away from me, and putting me in a bad frame of mind. I had prayed that God would get me right with Him, that He would provide a path, change my heart, and keep me focused. In the particular situation I was in, this quote-unquote struggle didn't seem like a struggle anymore. Although it was hard at first, I put God first, focused on my relationship with Him, and took care of myself so that I could take care of my family. I stopped trying to make things happen and just included those I love and others to be a part of the things God was making happen. God had revived my relationship with my wife and brought a new love and relationship with my kids as well. The Lord opened the door for a better opportunity to spend more time at home, even though it meant spending some time away. I had felt inclined to start looking for a house since we were living with my parents, and things moved so quickly with multiple obstacles in the way that owning a home seemed impossible. But yet even through that, it was the Lord, and my faith and belief were in Him that He would get us a home. My wife and I spent some time in Kentucky, and before we knew it, and after some more godly intervention, we had an offer on a home. Then the inspection fell into place, then the appraisal, and all of a sudden, we owned a home in Kentucky. We still had to figure out the move and all of the logistics, and I'm not exaggerating. It might as well took an act of Congress to get us there, but the Lord provided a solution for the 10 or so obstacles that would prevent us from getting to our new home. I mean, we were doomed to fail at this. Yet the whole time, God gave me peace and grew my faith, and I had so much more to worry about, but I didn't. He kept me still, so much so that my wife even asked, "How are you not stressed out over this?" I told her it wasn't me, but it was the Lord, because I know the Isaiah I am, and that this would have had me freaking out. Our move could not have gone any better, and I was so amazed by the power of our Lord and to have favor on us in it all. It all just reinforced all that God has done through this entire year. It has shown me to reflect His love all the more, and that it absolutely is not luck, and it is always God. It always was God, and will always be God. I can say I have no clue what God has for us here yet, but we are in a completely different yet better place. We are with our friends who are very much family to us, and God used all of you guys at CSVC in this family's little story, and I am so grateful that He did. And I love and miss each one of you guys, and I pray that He blesses the church and bless you individually. I wish I could express in words how much you guys mean to me. I can say now that when struggles come, they are met differently. It was a literal leap of faith for us, and still is, but we cannot live in fear, uncertainty, and doubt. We must face each challenge with prayer, patience, and trust. God did all of this, so there is a reason. I ask that you please pray that He reveals that reason and pours me into it like He has poured His Spirit into me. Pray for that same peace He gave me previously, and I meet His will with no resistance. Love to you all from Isaiah. I remember that Thursday, too, because he came up and he was talking to some of us, and he's like, "I don't even know why I'm telling you guys all of this stuff." Like, it was so cool. But that's a great testimony of what God is doing, right? Amen? Amen. All glory gets to go to God. Amen. All right, children, get on out of here. Get on out of here. Hey, we were in Lovelock. I'm just going to share a little bit. We were in Lovelock last night and last week, and the Spirit of God was really moving heavy last week on somebody named Jimmy. And so, and I'm sharing this because last night, as Jasmine and I were praying with Jimmy, he specifically asked that this church, the whole church, would be praying for him, that all of you would say a prayer for Jimmy. Jimmy is in some darkness. Jimmy is struggling with anger, and an anger like maybe some of you have understood, maybe not. But here's the thing. He said, "Would you just ask everybody in the church to pray for me? Because if at least 100 people are praying, at least one of them got to get to God, right?" And so but here's the truth. It just shows that, listen, he's crying out. He's asking for help, and so he's asking you to be a part of that. And so would you just be praying for Jimmy and be praying for his deliverance? He needs to be set free. It's really what he needs. He needs to be really delivered, really, 100%. So be praying for that, would you? All right. Well, praise the Lord that we get to be gathered together this morning. We got to sing. Man, didn't you just love that song? Man, I loved hearing you guys. Man, speak in the name of Jesus. Sing in the name of Jesus. Man, that was so cool. I just love that. Right on the mountaintops. Like, one of my prayers is that we would just be worshiping and praising God in such a way that this foundation would shake, or that this roof would fall off. And when I mean fall off, I mean this way. So don't be like, you know, I mean not like Samson. Like, I mean the other way, right? And so, man, I'm telling you, I almost felt the foundation shaking, guys. We're getting close. We're getting close, okay? So I just, when we sing that song again, or here's the thing, when we sing, the next time we sing any praise to God, man, sing with everything, right? Sing with everything, and just let him be praised, amen? We'll feel some foundation shaking. We're going to feel it, right? Let's just let the Spirit do his work. Hey, we're going to continue in 1 Corinthians. We're in 1 Corinthians. Oh, the other announcement. There's no evening service tonight, just so everybody knows. There's no evening service, all right? I'm part of an ordination council tonight. I get to go and ordain a minister, a pastor. Get to be a part of that. What a joy that's going to be. So, yes. So if you come to church tonight, you'll probably still get some coffee, but, Steve will turn some music on for you and hang out with you or whatever, and, you know, you guys can always open the Bible. Amen that, please, somebody. Like, we got to start at the beginning, I guess. But we're going to continue in 1 Corinthians, and we're going to be in chapter 3. And there is so much in chapter 2. At the end of chapter 2, I was like, man, I should preach 10 more sermons in chapter 2. And it'd be kind of like our Thursday night Isaiah study. It seems like we cover a verse a night or something like that. And so really, chapter 2 is really about the Spirit of God working in his body, working in us, in the believers, to accomplish his purposes and his work. And so we're going to move on to chapter 3, and we're going to read the first 9 verses, but we're probably only going to cover 4 in this sermon. And maybe this is something that you've heard of. Who's heard of a baby Christian? Right? You've heard that term, baby Christian. How many of you have babies or have had babies? Right? What is the thing you think of as a baby? There's quite a few things. How many of you are thinking of dirty diapers? All right. How many of you are thinking milk? How many of you are thinking helpless? How many of you think, right? There's a lot of things that this picture that Paul shares right here, when we get this kind of description, but he describes more than just babies, just so you know. And so we're going to get into some of that. And really, it's kind of just a call to the church to be aware. To be aware and to pay attention. And so if you're here and you're paying attention, you're still awake, would you stand as we read God's word? We're going to read the first 9 verses. And don't worry about if your translation, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If your translation has a break somewhere else, don't pay attention to that. That was something that man put in there. If it doesn't have any breaks in it, then you're good. Just find chapter 3, verse 1. If you dare say amen. Amen. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready, not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Lord, we just pray and we ask that you would just speak to us. Lord, that you would call us to more. Lord, we know and we understand, Lord, or we pray that it would be our understanding that when you call us to more, you're calling us into a deeper relationship with you. Lord, you're not calling us into more works. You're not calling us into trying harder. Lord, you're calling us into being more submitted, more surrendered, more open to what you're doing and saying. And so we pray to that end, Jesus. Amen. Please have a seat. So we have a few things here. Paul starts, chapter 3, verse 1 starts with this big word, but, right? I have a few favorite statements that start, but I almost said something that you guys would have called me a perv, okay? I have a few statements, biblical statements that start with the word but my favorite statements that start with the word but are but God, right? Yeah. Right here, Paul says, but I, okay? And Paul is saying, but I, it starts with a but here. It starts with this because in the end of chapter 2, in verse 16, he makes this statement, and he says, we have the mind of Christ, right? And so we talked about how when you come to Christ, he gives you a new mind. Like, you're born again, and the first thing he starts to change is not just your heart, but it's your mind. Because what controls your heart? Right? Your mind. Your mind controls your heart. What comes out of your heart is the thing that you're thinking of, the thing that you're focused on. And I don't know about you, but many of us, we need a new mind. All of us needed a new mind. Some of us were still in the process. Like, okay, like there's a little more rust up there. Okay, it's okay. Just take it for what it is. And so we need this new mind. Well, Paul says, here's the thing. In Christ, if you're in Christ, you have the mind of Christ. And so you don't have the old mind of the flesh. You have a new mind. Anybody think like Jesus? Sometimes. Anybody want to think like Jesus? Anybody want to act like Jesus? Well, here's the thing. You have his mind. If you've come to him, you have that mind in you. And that mind of Christ is what starts to transform you, is what starts to change you. It starts to guide your heart. It starts to lead you. And so he says, we have this mind, the mind of Christ. And so he's calling to those who are in Christ. Now, he's going to talk about a carnal Christian here. Well, that's what we would call him, a carnal Christian. Who's heard that statement, a carnal Christian? How many of you have a different idea of what a carnal Christian is? When we think of carnal Christian, there's almost like, it's almost like an oxymoron. Like, how could you be a carnal Christian? How could the two come together? How can I still live in carnality and be a Christian, right? Good question. Once you answer that, let me know. But what Paul gets to is, here's the truth. We have the mind of Christ, and then he says this statement, but I couldn't teach you guys. I couldn't address you as spiritual people. Now, in this world and in this time, spiritual people mean something completely different than what Paul says. Listen, when Jesus talked to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus said, hey, I got some, you know, here's the deal. There's some questions. There's some hubbub. I know the things of God, and I know all this kind of stuff. And so he goes and he just talks to Jesus, and he wants to know more. What does Jesus tell him? Hey, listen, you have to be born again, right? And Nicodemus, he's thinking logically. He's like, wait, how can I do that? I can't be born again. And so Jesus tells him, you must be born of what? The Spirit. Listen, Romans, Paul makes this very clear. Until you come to Christ, you... No matter what you thought, no matter what you believed, until you came to Christ or until you come to Christ, for those of you who are still battling, you are spiritually dead. There is no spiritual life. I don't care if you're like, man, I read the stars and I do this and so I'm this spiritual person. No. The enemy is lying to you, trying to make you think that you're spiritual, because here's the truth. God is spirit, and so you must worship him in spirit. And so one of the enemy's greatest deception is, as long as you're a spiritual person, then you are in tune somewhat to some degree to where you're quote-unquote safe, to where you get to make your own decisions. You get to live your life based on what's inside of you, even though you've never came to Christ. That's spiritually dead just the same. In fact, that's spiritually deceived, still dead. So Paul says, listen, I couldn't come and talk to you as spiritual people. He says, okay, we have the mind of Christ. Remember, he includes them in this. We have the mind of Christ, he says, but there's still something. I still couldn't come to you as spiritual people. I couldn't come to you as people who were living out the mandates of Christ, who were living like Christ. No. I couldn't come to you like that because you're still living in the flesh. He says, so I couldn't come to you as spiritual people, but as fleshly people, or people of the flesh. And then he says this, as infants in Christ, or baby Christians. We use that word, baby Christians. And so Paul makes a couple of statements here. There are spiritual people, right? Those who are born again, those who have been made alive to the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God, for the Spirit of God, there are those who are just people of the flesh. Now, Paul's not telling them that they're not Christians, but he's using this as an example. Listen, there's people who are following God, there's people who want to follow God, and there's people of the flesh. He says, I couldn't address you like these people because guess what? You're immature. And so he says, there's spiritual people who follow God. There's people of the flesh who live according to the flesh. Go to Galatians 5 if you want to know what the works of the flesh are. There's a bunch of them. Anything that Christ didn't do would be probably fleshly. All the things that the world is telling you is okay because you're a human and these things are just natural. And so you can shack up with anybody. You can sleep with anybody. You can lie as long as it benefits you. You can cheat. You can steal. All of those things, works of the flesh. And so Paul is saying, listen, I couldn't come to you as godly people. I had to talk to you like worldly people because you're still in this third group. You're infants. Now here's the truth. Here's what he's getting to. He's not telling them that they're not saved. He's telling them you're not acting like saved people. He's telling them that you're immature like a baby. And he says, so I had to come and talk to you, not to the end that I should be, not to the end that I used to. He says, I have to come and talk to you as infants, like little babies. How many of you talk to your children differently than your coworkers? Right? How many of you are a little bit silly? Like, oh, you sweet little thing. Like, it's okay. We've all done it, right? We've all done it. You speak differently. Amen? And so Paul's not going to change the truth. He's going to change the depth of the truth, right? And so the truth doesn't change, but here's the thing. How many of your kids can receive and understand everything that you can? Right? One day they're going to get there. How many of you are like, man, there's things I am not going to tell my children, right? Right? Are your children sitting in here? Because now they know stuff about you. There's just certain things that you what? You want to what? Protect your children from. There's certain things you want to guide your children. You want them to grow. And so Paul says, listen, I can't talk to you like people. But here's and here's what he's saying. He says, I fed you with milk. Right? That's one of the things we think of babies. Right? They drink milk, right? What is the most nourishing thing for a newborn baby? Steak. Man, give that kid some steak. No. Man, I mean, let's get past, he can't even chew it, right? But he can't digest it. He can't break it down. He can't do anything. You know what he needs? Somebody. He needs the mother who gets to eat the steak. Or if you're a vegetarian, you know, steak's food kind of thing. She eats it, she breaks it down, and then her body produces the milk that the baby needs to do what? To grow. And so it's broken down to where it's just these pure nutrients that the baby needs so that they can grow. Now, listen. Breastfeeding, here's the thing. We have the room back there. You need to breastfeed. There's the deal. You got the one-way glass. We can't see you. You can see this. You can hear. Breastfeeding is a beautiful thing for a mother and a newborn baby. Breastfeeding a 20-year-old guy is perverse and disgusting. Mm-mm, listen. Somebody should go to jail. When you think of it like that, that's the truth. How about somebody who's 40? Would you expect him to still be breastfeeding? The picture here, what he says, is not just milk. Like, how many of you had a glass of milk yesterday, right? You went in the fridge, you had a glass of milk. Some of you are like, no. He's not talking about that kind of milk. He's talking about an infant's milk. And so he's talking about the thing that nourishes, the thing that builds up, the thing that promotes growth. And so it's not a bad thing. I want you to hear. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing for a newborn. It's not a bad thing for an infant. It's not a bad thing for somebody who's growing, getting to the point where they can actually eat the solid foods. But Paul says, listen, I had to come to you with this, not solid food, because you couldn't handle it. He says, listen. Now he brings two things. He brings the past, but he brings the present. And so he says, listen, you weren't ready for it. That's fine. I came and I established the church and I gave you milk. That's where you're supposed to be. There's some of you who are brand new in Christ. Milk is what you need. Rejoice in it. Get all the milk you can. Absorb it all. Dissolve it all. Man, let it nourish you. Grow from it and grow as fast as you can. There's some of you who should be on solid food. But Paul says, listen, if you're brand new, milk is what you need. I came to you when you were brand new. I started the church. I gave you milk. That's where you were supposed to be. You weren't ready for solid food. And so he shares the care that Christ, that God has for his people, for his church. Listen, you're brand new? Sweet. Awesome. We're glad. You get milk. There's nothing wrong. In fact, it's what you need. It's exactly what you need. And we're not going to try to shove a steak in your face. Because you're not ready for it. And Paul says that's fine because that's where we start. But he goes on to say, listen, there's a point where it's not okay anymore. He says, and even now you're not ready. Even now you're not ready, for you're still of the flesh. Now this is not like, hey, I'll be back in a month. You'll see how you guys are doing, right? How many of you, like, you know, you go to the doctor and your baby, man, your baby is growing, and they give you that whole, they're in the whatever percentile, and your baby's getting fat, and it's getting tall, and it's all these things, it's growing, and so just keep, right? Right, you go to those appointments, and you go to those appointments until it gets to this point, and you're like, oh, yes, we're measuring the growth. No, Paul says, here's the deal. This isn't a month later, this is years. Paul establishes the church, and there's a time before he comes back. There's a time from when he establishes the church and before he makes the trip and he writes this letter because he's hearing of the news of what's taking place. The reports of what's happening in the church is coming. And he says, listen, you're still not ready for it. He says, it's fine when we started. That's where you're supposed to be. He's like, but guess what? You're supposed to be mature by now. Not fully mature. Here's the thing. Anybody in here fully mature? Are you more mature than you were yesterday? A year ago, a week ago, that's the point Paul's trying to make. And so you have the church in Corinth here. And the church in Corinth, they're still operating out of the flesh. And so it means that they're not even here. Here's the truth. Listen, here's the truth. Paul fed them with milk. Once Paul left, they stayed just on the milk that he gave them. They never went any farther than that. Because Paul says, I still have to feed you with that same milk. He says, you're not ready for solid food. And so it's been years. It's been years, and guess what? You're not growing. You still need milk. You weren't ready for it, which was fine, but now you're still not ready for it. Hebrews 5, 11 through 14 tells them, basically he makes the statement that they should be teaching. They should be taking, they should be absorbing, they should be understanding, and they should actually be teaching and taking God's word and sharing it and teaching it. That's what happens with growth. You start as an infant and you start to grow. How many of you want your kids to live with you forever? Moms, don't raise your hand. Okay, moms, you can raise your hand. You want your kids to live with you forever, but you know that that's not ultimately what's best for them, right? Right. Your boys can be mama's boys their whole life, but they need to be separated. That's fine. Because they won't actually grow into maturity if they don't get out and do it on their own. And if they always stay at home, they're always going to be what? Dependent upon you. And listen, Paul's not saying you don't need teachers. He's not saying that. Obviously, the Scripture teaches. He's established the church in the way that he has, with pastors and with elders and with teachers and with all of this stuff. And it doesn't matter. Like, oh, once you hit 30 years, you've been going to church for 30 years, so you know everything. You no longer need to come to church. No, church is for everybody. He calls us to that. He establishes that. Because guess what? We always need to continue to be fed and continue to grow. That's what he says. But listen, we shouldn't be on milk still. We should be on solid food. And so when I go back to the picture, a mother breastfeeding an infant is a beautiful thing. It's exactly how it's supposed to be. But if that child is 20, okay. Let's not even go that. Let's not even go 15. I mean, we got to go much younger than that. I mean, when is it now acceptable for a child to be weaned? Right? I mean, and that's just it. There's going to be a little difference. But here's the truth. How about Samuel? How old is Samuel when he's not only weaned? Here's the thing, moms that have this deal. Okay, he's weaned. Drop him off at the church, and that's where he's going to live. And you're going to come and visit him and bring him a jacket once a year. Okay, here, grow up quick. You're like, Listen, you're not just supposed to, you're supposed to feed them, you're supposed to grow them, but they're supposed to be growing. And so Paul says, listen, I couldn't come to you as spiritual people. This is years later. He says, listen, I still have to come to you with milk. And here's the reason, because they're still of the flesh. Now, he's not saying they're not saved. Listen, he's not saying they're not saved. What he's saying is they're still acting and living in a way of being unsaved. How many of you, once you came to Christ, you still had some stuff in your life? Okay? You still had some stuff. Right? You got saved. Jesus Christ saved you. He showed you the truth that you needed a Savior, that you weren't it, you couldn't be it. You gave your life to Christ, and then there was still some struggle. How many of you have been walking with Jesus, and you still got some struggle? Are you growing? Are you still in that same struggle? Because here's what he says. You're still in the flesh. Now, here's the flesh. Listen to how the church in Corinth was behaving. There is jealousy and strife among you. Okay? Okay? Listen. Jealousy and strife. Jealousy. Over what? It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it was over, oh, they didn't have cars. Doesn't matter if it was the chariot, right? Oh, man, that is a sweet chariot. That bad boy's got iron all the way around the wood spokes, right? Man, that's the, man, I should have that too. No, the point of jealousy was, here's the truth. They were jealous in the things of God. Because remember in chapter 1, he says, listen, and listen, I want you to hear this. The Spirit of God was moving. They lacked even in this form. I want you to hear this because this is very important. They lacked no spiritual gifting in the church. Paul says, listen, you lack nothing of the spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts were fully functioning in the Corinthian church. And he says, listen, but you're acting like a bunch of carnal Christians. A bunch of babies in Christ. Just because the Spirit of God does something through you or in your midst does not mean you're mature in Christ. Okay? So if you're looking for the Spirit of God to do something and use you, maybe even speak in tongues, it doesn't establish your maturity. It establishes that the Spirit of God is the one who moves. The Spirit of God is the one who does the gifts, who gives them, who uses them, who practices them, who equips people with them. But he says, listen, I couldn't even come in and share that truth. Now, here's the jealousy. The jealousy was in those gifts. One of the main things they were jealous of was the gifts. Oh, you can speak in tongues? Oh, man, I want that too. I want to be able to speak in tongues. I want to be as good as you. How about this? Oh, I had this pastor who taught me how to speak in tongues. I had this pastor who taught me how to pray in tongues. I taught this pastor how to have the gift of healing. I taught this pastor. And it's all this, they're functioning out of this jealousy and strife. Oh, so you can't speak in tongues, so you can't be saved. You're not as Christian as I am. And so they're operating out of strife to create jealousy, and they're operating out of jealousy, creating strife, and building up strife. Because of these spiritual gifts. And so they're better Christians than the person sitting next to them. Oh man, well, I was one of the first ones here. Remember that when we went through chapter 1? I'm with Paul. I'm with Apollos. I'm with, right? And he says, listen, all these people had their favorite pastor, their favorite teacher. Paul established the church. Apollos had a great ministry in the church where he came and he was teaching all kinds of things. And so people were like, oh, yeah, well, I was following Apollos. And, you know, Paul said he gave us some milk, but Apollos is really the one who taught us about the gifts. And so now that I have this gift, it's because of Apollos. And they're using this, instead of building God's church, which is the next section he's going to get to, instead of building God's church, they're using it to cause jealousy and strife. And so Paul says, I'm writing to you to tell you, guess what? You can't handle meat. You're still a bunch of babies. How many of you have been called a baby lately? By your spouse? It might be true. Okay. He says, listen, you can't take the meat. You're still of the flesh. You're operating out of jealousy and strife. And he says, when you do this, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? How many of you are human? How many of you are not human? Should I ask that? I'm not human. Am I alone here? Oh, thank you. Who else is not human? Right? Why are you not human? Because this earth is not your home. You're an alien, right? You're a foreigner. You're an alien resident, the scripture tells us. But what Paul is saying is, listen, you're acting just like the world. You're not acting like a born-again spiritual person, because here's what happens when the Spirit of God comes and takes over your life, when he has control of your life. He has control of your life. Remember when you were just merely human? Who controlled your life? How many of you? Okay, no, not even self. Not even self. Think about it for a second. Before Christ, how many of you did money control? Money. How many of you was it money? The love of, the need for, the desire. How many of you was it stuff? How many of you was it keeping up with the Joneses? Making sure, listen. Down to the point where you're like, man, little Bobby Sue had the awesomest birthday party. Every kid in the whole entire neighborhood is talking about her birthday party. So guess what we're going to do? We're going to buy every kid a pony. Right? Envy. Jealousy. I mean, how many different things actually controlled you? It wasn't the Spirit of God. Because here's what happens when the Spirit of God actually gets control of your life. All of that stuff goes to the wayside. If he has control of your life. If he has control of your life. Now, Paul says, here's the deal. You guys have come to Christ. Here's the carnal Christian. You guys have come to Christ, but you're still acting like this. You still think all this stuff is important. You still think it's more important to have this gift, and you still think it's more important to have this and to do this and establish yourself as something, as a Spirit-filled or a Spirit-led or this holy Christian. He says, that's what you think is important. And that's how you're functioning, and that's how you're operating. You remember what Jesus says when they come back? Remember, he sends the disciples out. He sends them out, and he says, okay, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go, and I want you to cast out demons. I want you to heal. I want you, right? And he sends them out to do all that, and they come running back. They say, Jesus, this is amazing. At your name, demons flee. At your name, people are healed. Like, Jesus, this is just amazing. How many of you ever got to be a part of healing? How many of you ever got to be a part of casting out a demon? How many of you ever got to be a part of seeing somebody receive the forgiveness of God? How many of you got to be a part of that? And you run back. Wasn't it amazing? Like, seriously, just wasn't it amazing? Yeah. It was amazing. And you go and you thank the Lord, and you're like, man, that was amazing. And you know what Jesus said to them, and the same thing he says to us? Don't be so excited about that. Don't rejoice in the fact that demons flee. Don't rejoice in the fact that people are healed. Rejoice in that. Rejoice in the fact that your name is written in the book of life. Rejoice in the fact that you're saved. Jesus brings us all back to the same level, and he says, here's the deal. Just like Paul said, you are either saved, and the word of God, which is foolishness to the lost, which is foolishness to the world, is wisdom, or you're lost, and the word of God is foolishness. Like, man, them holy people, them Christians, following an ancient book written by a whole bunch of people a long time ago that contradicts itself and just blah, 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 blah. It's because you need the Spirit of God. He needs to speak to you. So what Jesus does to the disciples and what Paul is doing here is saying, listen, we're all on the same ground. That all of that work, all of those miracles, all of those spiritual gifts are his working. They're his empowerment. They're his. He gives according to how he wants to operate according to whose plan? Your plan? No, his plan. To do what? To build his church. And so he's, listen, quit lifting yourselves up. Quit lifting up those who you follow. Now, this is not saying don't ever, if you like, you know, we live in a wonderful time. Some of you are going to look at me like I'm crazy. You have access to the best preaching, the best exposition of God's word available. Everybody's sermons are recorded. Everybody's outlines are available. Like all this stuff, we have so much access to the word of God, right? That's the truth. We have it. It's a wonderful time. It's a beautiful time as far as that's concerned. And so we have that made available to us. We have that. And so this is a great time. We should be rejoicing in that fact. But guess what? None of that means anything if you don't belong to Christ. It's just more stuff. We talked about this in our class, this AI. People joining AI churches. You know why? Because, man, you go to chat AI or whatever the thing is, and you just type in there, give me a sermon outline, you can say, seriously, any of you can do this. Sermon outline. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. 4 points, blah, blah, blah. You can put all these things in, and that thing will just start generating. And you go through it. Listen, I toyed with this. I was like, man, I'm going to check this thing out. And it gives you this outline. You look at the outline. Yeah, man, that's a good outline. That's a real good outline. And because of the Spirit of God, taking the Word of God and applying it to the person of God, I understand the impact of that. But people are joining these AI churches because they're saying, well, that's simply what the word means. Here's what Paul says. If you're just living of the world, you're going to make that apply according to your worldly living. And so it doesn't matter that this computer can generate this stuff. Only the Spirit of God can take the truth of God, the Word of God, and apply it. But you have to be a person of God. And so for some, like the Holy Spirit starts and he just starts applying simple truths. But you know what he starts applying? He starts applying the milk. He starts applying the milk. Like when you first come to Christ, you don't have to understand that, you know, the difference between sanctification and justification. You don't have to understand all that stuff. You know what you need to understand? That you are a sinner who needs a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior. That he lived the life you couldn't, he died the death you deserved, and God raised him to the life that you can now live. That's what you need. And then the next thing he does, right? Okay, there's your first bottle. The second bottle is this. Okay, what's next? What's next? We see that throughout the scriptures. We see that through Acts. Okay, what must I do to be saved? Okay. Listen. Repent. Believe in Jesus. And then what? Go and get baptized. Like there's these steps of obedience and you start to grow. Then what? Well, gather together. Continue to study God's word. Continue to pray. Continue to seek him. Well, then what? Well, just keep doing that. Keep being surrendered. Keep letting his truth, keep letting the gospel give you strength and bring you life. And so the gospel never changes. But isn't it beautiful that it continues to impact you? If you let it. Man, these guys had a booming church as far as church is concerned. Man, they had people coming, right? We have this church in this place where, man, there's all these idols and there's all this stuff and there's all this pagan worship and all this kind of stuff. And look at our church. We got all these people here. And man, the Spirit of God, listen, we got people who speak in tongues. We got people who have interpretations. We got people who are doing this. Like, we don't lack any of the spiritual gifts. We don't lack any of that. Man, we are a booming, thriving church. And Paul says, listen, you're a bunch of babies. Now, it shows us the grace of God, right? God's still working in the church. He's still using spiritual gifts, his gifts. The people are there. He hasn't just like cast them off to the side, but he gives them this letter of warning and he says, here's the deal. This is how you're acting. Get right. And so he says, listen, I'm speaking to you as babies. Because you're living like humans. You're living like babies. Carnal Christian, what does the word carnal mean? The Greek word is sarkikos. It means fleshly or carnal. And here's what it means. It means having the nature of flesh, or you're under the control of an animal's appetite. We got this little cat in the garage, right? Or he's outside, but he comes in the garage to eat. And I tell you what, he comes whining. He eats every day. Just don't be like... But he comes whining, and he sees his bowl is empty. And just, ah, rah, right? And man, once he hears the little trinkle of the food going in the bowl, he just starts like, I mean, he's... And then you set the bowl down. Man, that thing could almost take off my finger. Right? That's just a little bit old cat. You know why? Because what do they do when they eat? They don't set the table. They don't put the, you know, your fork goes here. The salad fork is first and the second fork. And so we're going to eat with manners. No, no, no. When they're hungry, they just devour. He says, here's the deal. If you're not letting the Spirit of God run your life, rule your life, control your life, guide your life, that's what's going to control it. The appetite of your flesh. And you say, well, you can't be a Christian and be that. That's not true. The scriptures are very clear. Here's the question you have to answer. How long do you think God's going to let you? Here's the battle that always comes up. Well, if I'm saved, then God will pull me out of it. Paul says, guess what? You get out of it. You put yourself there. You get out of it. You be obedient to the Spirit of God. Here's the thing. The Spirit of God, you know why? You know why God and the Spirit of God and Jesus Christ get all the credit and get all the glory for anything good that we ever do? Anybody? It's because they did the work in us and through us. We don't get to take credit for the good work because guess what? He enabled you to do the good work. How many of you can paint? How many of you use your fingers and paintbrushes and this, that, and the other? Okay? Who gave you the hands? Who gave you the paint? Who gave you all these things? And so when it works out, God gets the credit. God gets the glory because he enabled you to do that. You know why God doesn't have to take the blame when you sin or when you fall? Because God gave you everything to be obedient, and you weren't. So we don't get to blame the Spirit. Oh, you know, Holy Spirit, I'm just sinning because you didn't pull me out of it. He's like, that is a bunch of foolishness. I've given you of myself. I've given you a new mind. I've given you my word. I've given you everything. And you're like, Pastor, so you're saying we can be sinless? No, 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 no. But you don't have to be disobedient. There's a difference. Disobedient doesn't care what God has said or what God's calling you to. Disobedient says, I'm just going to do this my way. I know what's best. And maybe you wouldn't have the audacity, let's say, to declare that publicly, but your actions are proving it. He says, you're still a baby. And so to surrender to him, to surrender to his control, to be led by his Spirit, here's the thing. You don't care what the outcome is because it's not your outcome. The thing that should really strike fear in us is the fact that we can still be disobedient, right? The fact that I know if I'm not in his word and asking him, listen, I don't just simply mean reading my Bible. Listen, I want you to hear, church. I don't just mean reading my Bible. You know how much I read my Bible throughout the week? I read it and I read it and I read it and I read it. There's a difference between reading it and getting before God and saying, okay, Lord, show me yourself. Show me myself. Show me my sin. Show me what you would call me to. And reading, that's reading the Bible. Lord, you get to speak to me. Lord, you get to change me. You get to call me. So I'm not saying just flip your Bible open for 5 minutes. I'm saying read your Bible. Be fed by it. Be nourished by it. Be growing by it. And so when the pastor says, you know, read your Bible and pray. Listen, he's not just saying just read your Bible and pray. Just like, here's the thing. I got my devotion. I read this thing and I read the prayer too. And so that was it. Here's a question for you. Don't raise your hand. Just answer this in your heart. How many of you are still stuck to that devotion on your phone instead of actually getting into God's word? And you say, I've got this devotion, and so I did my devotion, and so God and I are square today. That's what I need. But listen, here's the problem. Those of you who know that that's where you are, how many struggles do you still have in your life? How many battles are you not winning? Should I say it like this? How many battles are you not seeing God's victory? It's because you're not actually, you're still in milk. And I don't care how wordy the devotion was. Because you haven't sat before the Lord and said, Lord, you change me. Let your word change me. Have your way with my life, with my heart. Renew my mind. You said, well, the pastor said, if I read my word and if I pray, then I'm good. No, that's, if your pastor said that and he didn't clarify, let me clarify for him. He didn't mean that. He couldn't have meant that. Because what he meant is that you should be growing. What Paul says is that you should be growing. You should be on solid food, or at least on your way to solid food. Now, that doesn't mean that every struggle, like, here's the thing. We still have struggles. We still have battles. We still have all these types of things. And so it's not where you're at right now, but it is where you're headed. And so where are you headed? Are you headed to this relationship? Are you headed to a depth? Are you headed to more of God? He says, that's going to have an effect. It has to. It has to. It has to change your life. And so if you're still sitting in the same place that you've been sitting for a year, for two, for five, for 10, 15, maybe even 20, and you're still, listen, you're still living on the thing God did 20 years ago, you're still on milk. Anybody drink 20-year-old milk? But really bad cheese. It's not even good cheese. It's bad cheese. Right? Because, I mean, there's a certain amount where you're like, man, it's just, you know, it's a sharp cheddar. Right? And here's the thing. If you put mild cheddar and sharp cheddar, anybody who picks the mild cheddar, that's wrong. Okay? We can't stay as spiritual infants, or we shouldn't, but you can. But you can. And so Paul's writing and he says, hey, here's the deal. Listen, I don't want you guys to be where you're at. I want you guys to be growing. And so here's the thing. God gives them this letter. Just like God gives us the same letter. He says, listen, for you or for this church, both. Don't be infants anymore. Grow up. So here's the deal. If you're like, man, I'm an infant. How fast can I grow up? Here's the thing. As fast as God wants you to, if you're seeking him. And so today, here's the call, church. Here's the call. It's okay to be an infant. And listen, it's okay to be an infant if you're a brand new infant, if you were just born here recently, born again. That's fine. That's great. That's amazing. We rejoice. Right now, in this moment, it's fine if you're a 20-year-old infant. In this moment, right now, we will still rejoice. We will still proclaim the goodness of God. You know why? Because he made you come to the realization that you're living in an infant spiritual life. But what are you going to do with it next? Okay, Lord, I've been a 20-year-old baby. I started off as a baby, and I'm still a baby, and it's been 20 years. But, Lord, I don't want to stay a spiritual baby. I want to grow, and I want all that you have for me. And so, Lord, I repent of my laziness, because, honestly, it's a spiritual laziness. It really is. I repent of my laziness. I repent of my lack of desire. I repent of my stubbornness, my hard-heartedness, my whatever. Lord, and now that I repent, I turn from that and I ask you, Lord, give me what I need. Give me the milk. Lord, take me on the road. Put me on the path to spiritual solid food. That you would be glorified. And here's what happens. If you really come to God, if you really come and you really let the Spirit just let this truth sink in, here's what will happen. You will be filled with the Spirit and you will be able to make a statement like this: man, I've been walking as a baby for 20 years. You won't care if the rest of the church, all these quote-unquote super Christians around you, because if they're really super Christians, they'll be like, man, praise God. Praise God, because guess what? There's days I'm there too. Here's the amazing thing about the Spirit of God. He will lead us all to the same truth. It'll be disobedient for you to not respond to what he's showing you. You'll be disobedient and you'll be in sin if you say, you know what? That is me, but I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to ask God to change. Then we get into the question, like, how carnal do you get to be and still be a Christian? How much sin is acceptable for you to still think you're saved? For me, I have a hard time. We all have acts of the flesh and we all still have sins, but to be a carnal Christian, I just don't see it. Just don't see it. Man, I lived part of my life this way. I knew all the stuff about Jesus, all this, and I had all this kind of stuff. You know what knowledge does? Knowledge puffs up and makes you proud. I remember when I was 19, the Lord started calling me and said, you got some issues. And so I gave my life to the Lord and then started going to church and started on milk. But guess what? I stayed on milk. I stayed on milk for a long time. And it wasn't until Cheyenne was 8 years old. 8 years, right? 7, 8 years. Stayed on milk. Trusting in the things I knew from going to Sunday school and going to church as a kid and all this stuff. And right? All that stuff that I knew. Lived on spiritual milk for like 7, 8 years. And I remember, here's the thing, for me, and you can argue all day long, I don't care. You can't take from me what God has shown me. God showed me and he said, hey, here's the deal. You're not okay like that. If you take one more step in that direction, the direction of the flesh, there's bitterness in my heart. He says, you can't be mine and be bitter. You can't be mine and have that darkness in your heart. And you take one more step like that, in that direction, and you're done. The Spirit of God moved on me in a way that I was like, I didn't have to ask, what do you mean by done? Like, am I grounded for a week? Because, you know, there was times mom said, hey, you do that, and you're done, it's over. And she's kind of a pushover, so you know. You just do your chores and stuff, and that would kind of be, it wasn't like that with God. When he said, you're done, I knew that whatever that meant, it wasn't good for me. It wasn't good for me. And so he gave me the opportunity to repent. So what did I do? I repented. You know why? Because he enabled me to. Because he called me to. And so I repented. And so guess what? I responded to the altar call and I said, here's the deal. I need to actually rededicate my life to the Lord. Okay, I was saved. I was, you know, back when I was 19, back when I was 20, whatever. Back all those years ago, I was saved. The Lord showed me that I needed a Savior. And so I called out to him to be my Savior. And so I was saved. But man, I've been living all these years not following that. And for me, I got rebaptized. You know why? Because I hadn't been living for the Lord like I had made in like the profession I made in my original baptism. So I said, man, I'm going to be rebaptized because I want the world to hold me accountable. And so I want to tell the world that, listen, I'm rededicating my life to the Lord. I don't want to be a baby Christian anymore. I want to grow, and you get to hold me accountable to that. You see me acting like a baby. Well, I shouldn't say it like that because you still call me out on that. You see me living like a spiritual baby, not just a simple crybaby. You see me living like a spiritual baby. You're trying to revert back to that. You as the church get to call me out on that. Oh, how many does that strike fear into? Well, I don't want the church to call me out, right? Because so you haven't surrendered to the Spirit. Yeah, but the church isn't the Spirit. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the temple of God. And if the whole church would just get on board with out worrying about jealousy and strife and envy and all these types of things, and we would all just be like, hey, man, there's places in my life where I'm a spiritual infant. There's places in my life where I need to make sure that I just stick strictly to the Word of God and my own walk. You know what happens when you're led by the Spirit? You don't have to call people out on sin. People who are in sin will come to you because they see the Spirit of God working in you, and they know that you're not going to judge them. And they know that they're, here's the thing, they're going to come and they're going to get some truth from you. Because you're living according to the Spirit. Your life is being led by that. And you're not one talking about somebody else. You're not one stirring up strife. You're not one trying to create jealousy. You're not one trying to create your own disciples. You're like, man, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And people who were battling with sin, people who were struggling, when they need the encouragement, when they need, they will come to you. And you will get to lead them to Christ. And you will get to point them to Christ. And you will get to say things like this, man, I will pray with you. I'm going to pray for you. Man, let's just get in God's word together. And you'll understand, as Paul's getting ready to say, man, I am nothing. Paul says, Paul is nothing and Apollos is nothing. Christ is everything. It's God. When you're led by the Spirit of God, when you're a spiritual adult, God will get the credit. God will get the glory. You won't want it because you'll understand. It's the truth. It's His truth. And you'll be asking, Lord, change me. We got some folks that are in some sin, right? Like, man, you see it. And you give them the truth, and they continue to live in that sin, and they don't want to change. And yet they make proclamations that they belong to Christ. And you're like, man, that's really hard for me to believe. Because if He's your master, He gets to what? Tell you what to do. He gets to be your Lord. He gets to say, listen, He's not a cruel taskmaster. No, no. I came that you could have life, what? Abundant. I didn't come so that you could have life and a whole bunch of rules. That's not what He says. I came that you may have life abundant. He came so that you could have life. He's calling you to Himself. He's calling you to life. The changes He wants to make in your life, the changes He's calling you to, trust me, are a way better blessing than anything you can come up with. You can't even imagine the blessings that God has for you. You can't even fathom it. I don't know how good your imagination is. Doesn't even come close. Doesn't even come close. Close your eyes for just a second. Let me see if the worship... Do we have an invitation song? Okay. Or should we, can we do the Jesus song again, actually? Yeah, I speak Jesus. I want to do that one. Don't get up. I want everybody to sit down. I don't care if you got coffee. Sit down. Sit down. I don't care if you got coffee break. Just sit down for a minute. Are you ready? Are you ready to actually let the Spirit of God control your life? I don't care. I don't care how long you've been walking with Jesus. I don't care how long you've been pretending. I don't care. I don't care. You ready to put your flesh to the side? Actually, crucify it. And say, Lord, I don't care what people, I don't care what they say. I don't care what they think. Lord, I just want to be yours. And so if you're here today, we're going to sing this song in just a minute. But the song's not the invitation. The invitation is right now. I just want you to just take this moment. I want you to just bow your heads down. I want you just to close your eyes. Don't look at anybody else. Look in your heart. Don't even look at me. Look in your heart. Man, if you have to, just close your eyes and just picture your own heart and just picture everything that's inside of it that is not godly. And don't dare try to, listen, it's just you and God right now. Don't try to pull the wool over God's eyes and be like, okay, there's nothing in here. Like, this looks good. This is all clean. I'm not asking you to come forward. I'm not asking you to proclaim this to the church. There is a time for that, and there's a place for that. What I'm asking you to, the invitation right now is for you to be like, okay, what's in my heart? I need to grow. Lord, I need you to change this. I need you to purify me. I need you to do this. And so maybe you're here today and you've never come to Christ. And so you need the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. You say, everything in my heart is wicked. Everything in my heart is dark. And there's no hope. I tell you what, there's hope in Jesus. The darkest, blackest, hardest heart, Jesus says, man, I can make that as white as snow. I can purify that. I can cleanse that. Mm-hmm. And so there's hope for you today. Hey, man, when I get to read Isaiah's testimony, man, talk about a guy walking in the flesh. And the Holy Spirit just spoke to him and said, listen, you need to get right. And guess what? He surrendered to that. And God is moving. Because God is the one telling you. God is the one calling you. And God will not let you down. He never has and He never will. And so just take this time. I'm going to give you about a minute. You take as much time as you need. But they're going to come up and they're going to start singing. And so in about a minute, when they start singing, if you're ready, when they start singing, I want you to stand up and I want you to speak Jesus. And for those of you who need to just sit there and you just need to let God just be working on your heart, just, man, through the whole song, let everybody who stands up and speak Jesus, let the name of Jesus just run over the top of you. Let the Spirit of God get into your veins and just flesh everything that is not of Him out. And just let the church sing Jesus over you and speak Jesus over you. And you speak Jesus over you. And you ask Jesus. And so you stay in your chair as long as you need to. But as you feel the Spirit of God leading, man, stand up and speak Jesus. If God is putting somebody on your heart, maybe you need to go over and you need to pray with that person. Maybe God is saying, hey, I want you to go and speak my name over this person. Don't freak out. Be obedient. If somebody lays hands on you and they come to start praying, don't freak out. Let them pray for you. But man, we want to speak to Jesus. So you do as the Lord leads you.
both heaven and earth.
Amen. Join me in prayer. Jesus, we speak your name.
Yeah.
Lord, it is in your name where there's power. Yeah. Lord, where there's healing. Yeah. Lord, only you can break strongholds. And so, Lord, we want to pray. Lord, as there are those inside this building, for sure, who have a stronghold. Lord, and so we want to speak, Jesus, that, Lord, you would break that stronghold, that you would grant the healing that needs. Lord Jesus, there's power in your name. The only name by which men can be saved. And so, Lord, we speak your name and help us to continue to speak your name. Help us continue to praise your name. To show a lost and dying, hopeless world that hope is in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We praise you. And it's for your sake, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. All right, listen up really quick. Hey, Miss Ann, our dear sweet Miss Ann, is going to be moving here soon. Make sure, we have some cake. We want to just celebrate Miss Ann and just all that she means to us and everything. And so we have some cake. So please don't leave. Make sure you go back there. Say hi to Miss Ann. Give her a hug. Make sure you love on her. Get some cake. Just have some fellowship time. Listen, this is very hard for us. This is going to be very hard for her too. She's gonna go with family, which is cool and which is awesome. But, man, that means a new church family. I know she loves most of you guys, you know. I mean, she loves all of you guys. But please, grab a hold of her and hug her, right? Please? Amen? All right. Go get some cake.